What's up, people? This is You're Not Listening, the podcast that teaches you how to actively listen to music, one song at a time. I'm Sean O'Loughlin.
I am Sean's dad, Jim.
And today we got a couple cool songs coming at you. I am going a little bit old school, and you got something newer and kind of funky.
Brand new.
I actually have never heard this song. He just told me what it is before we started recording, and I had to download it and put it on here, and I haven't listened to it yet, so it's going to be...
It's cool.
This is like the first time.
Just out in March.
Yeah. So, Dad, you are doing Hypotheticals by who?
Lake Street Dive.
And I am doing I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
I love rock and roll.
Because awesome. She's the coolest. But before we get into that, I want to remind everybody to go to pantheonpodcast.com. If you like this show, guarantee you'll find some more music-related podcasts at Pantheon that you will definitely enjoy just as much. Make sure you subscribe to You're Not Listening wherever you get podcasts. Wherever there are podcasts, we are there. Subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff. Check out our Teespring store for some awesome merch. We may have another sale coming up. We had a sale recently, 10% off everything. Hopefully there will be another one coming up around Halloween time.
And we had a good amount of people grab some of that stuff too, myself included.
There's some good stuff out there now. I hope you guys enjoyed the last episode with Alex from the Gaslight Anthem. That was an awesome opportunity to have him on the show. That was pretty cool. So I want to say thank you again to him in case he became
a
listener. That was really cool. We got some good feedback on that one too from some Gaslight Anthem fans out there, which is pretty neat.
Nice. And as anybody knows, Gaslight is probably one of our favorite bands.
Yes, it's my favorite band for sure.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool to connect with him.
He was such a good guy too. Wow.
I think the only other thing that I didn't say is we do have a Patreon page. If you want to support the show, if you feel like we are worth a couple bucks a month, head on over to the link in the show notes, check out our Patreon page, and share a little bit of love and a little bit of cash if you feel like supporting the show. I think that's all we have. So you ready to get into it?
Yep, let's go.
All right, we're going to do my song first.
Yeah. Do you want a joke first? We haven't done a joke in a while.
I guess. I haven't thought of any.
All right, you ready? I got one. Actually, when I see them, I collect them and put them in my phone.
We could honestly just default. If anybody remembers our Halloween episode last year, Jonathan Bailey, we could default to him every single day.
He posts a pun
on Facebook every single day, and most of them are really, really good.
Yeah. Well, he kind of has our same sense of humor, I think. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I got to do this one then. Okay, so you know the guy who invented throat lozenges,
I can't say I know who he is.
He died last week, but there was no coffin at the funeral.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh man.
I know. So, yeah. Hey, dad jokes. You started, when we first started doing this, you were very on the spot of always having a dad joke.
I had a really good one in the beginning, though.
And
it was music related, and I couldn't not do it. So.
All right. I can get off them easily because I don't need to do that. But every so often, I come across one. Some of them, Jonathan's like, oh, that's so good. I got to save that.
Maybe I know. He's got some really good ones, but he's been on the show. He may listen to the show. I don't want to steal him and like take credit for his jokes.
No. Yeah. Any of these jokes, and often a lot of times the information we share is not unique. It's stuff that we've stolen from other people because we appreciate their humor.
Except for the music stuff. A lot of the stuff.
That's all us.
A lot of the stuff that I talk about in these episodes are because I noticed something and I wanted to share it. And
yes.
This one, I decided to do this song.
Yeah, I was going to ask you why. This is interesting. Why?
Yeah, so I wanted to do Joan Jett because, in punk rock, it's like our Lord and Savior, Joan Jett. She's basically the coolest person on the planet. You know, there's certain people out there that just like ooze coolness, and that's Joan Jett. She's super cool. So I was like, I want to do a song by Joan Jett because she's just awesome. And I was going to do, I thought about doing I Hate Myself for Loving You because it would be kind of funny to talk about that connection with like the Monday Night Football song. It's the same song.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, no. Next time you watch Monday Night Football, just listen to the theme song. They basically changed the words to I Hate Myself
really?
For Loving You. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I thought about doing, what's that song that Bruce does? Light of Day.
Yeah.
Is that his song? Did he write that song?
He wrote that and gave it to them for the movie.
Yeah, I thought so.
Michael J.
Thought
Fox.
About doing that, but I don't really, I'm going to be honest, don't really like her version as much.
Yeah.
So I didn't
I
think
like
it's
Bruce's
quite
version
as,
of it when he plays it live.
Yeah, I don't think her version's quite as powerful. But then I was going for a walk one day, and this song came on, and I was listening to it, and it's the perfect speed and rhythm to walk to. Like, if you walk at the same pace, it's like the perfect speed. And I noticed something that really kind of threw me off guard, and we're going to talk about it when we listen to it. But this song is I think, one that people look past, right? Because it's just so prevalent everywhere, and
yep.
every cover
yep.
band in the world has covered it. And it's just, I think it's kind of gotten to the point where people just kind of forget it and look past it. But there's some cool stuff in here, and you know, Joan Jett is just super cool, and her band is really good. So I want to bring it back, and you know, let's all take another listen to this song and then talk about it. So click the link in the show notes or go to the Spotify playlist and listen to I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Here's a little sample. Obviously, if you don't think you've heard it before, here's a reminder. All right, you know that song. I recommend taking a walk and walking to the beat of this song, and then you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about when we get to it. So go ahead, listen to it, come on back, and we will talk about it. All right, have you thought about that song in a long time?
No, I have not. I have not. And, you know, again, that was a standard for, you know, rock radio back in the day. I don't even know what year it was. I'm guessing 81, 82.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know. I haven't.
And it was everywhere, and everyone knew it. And,
well,
and it was one
changed.
Of those songs. Again, you look past, but, you know, like, you know, kind of like, you know, Achy Breaky Heart and some of the other songs that we've spoken about, like, it was good and big and loved for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And this was as well. I'm just looking it up right now.
81.
81. Yep.
All right. Yeah.
Release was released in 81. Yep. So, I mean, it was literally everywhere. And, you know, one of those songs that, you know, kind of like a Bohemian Rhapsody or something, like, you know it whether you know it or not. You know, it's
right.
one of those songs you've heard a million times and you know the chorus and everybody wants to sing along. And, you know, the funny thing is, it's not danceable. So I never would have played this in my 30 plus years DJing. I don't think I ever did.
Right.
Because it's not danceable. It's
but every
singable.
Single cover band has played this song.
Right. It's you know, fist in the air and everything else and sing along kind of stuff without question. You want to do that, especially after the third chorus. You know, when it cuts out, it's just the words and you know, the lyrics stuff. It's not the music. But it's not a song that I ever played DJing, ironically. You know.
So right. And I think people, when they hear this song, they forget. Like there's a disconnect between this song and Joan Jett and, like, who she is. Like, if you were to watch her live, you'll get a better sense of how, like, deeply rooted in that, like, 80s, late 70s, early 80s punk scene she was.
Really?
Right? Like, she is in just, like, the black leather with the crazy hair, and, like, she's just such, like, that kind of teenage rebel punk rock
yes,
persona.
That, well, that's when she first came out, that's who she was, which
that's
is
who
so
she was.
Enticing. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And with the, what was that band she was in that did
Black
Cherry
Hots?
Bomb? No, they, who did Cherry Bomb?
Oh, okay. I know what you mean. Again, yep.
Why can I not think of that? Oh, come on.
She was in that, right? She was the lead singer?
No, she was lead guitar.
Okay.
Why can I not think of it? The Runaways.
The Runaways, okay.
Yes,
yeah,
she was in The Runaways,
yeah.
And she was lead guitarist of The Runaways. She wasn't the lead singer, but she had the personality, you know, that of a lead singer.
The
so
attitude.
She had broken off. Yeah, she, I think
okay, that's
there's
right.
a really great documentary about Joan Jett that I highly recommend people check out. It's really interesting.
And The Runaways were big, and she got noticed that way, right? Almost. And she mm-hmm. was a lot more famous initially because of The Runaways.
Right, and that was an all-female punk band.
Rock band. Right.
That was just not really a thing back then. So it was, you know, they stood out, and they really... They all had those kind of larger-than-life personalities, right? So they kind of, like, broke out in a way that put them in the spotlight. And
right.
she just had this attitude that just and talent, you know, the attitude and the talent. And so I think people hear this song, and it's just so common, and it's almost gotten a little bit in the cheese that people don't really make that connection of that really deep-rooted punk rock persona that she has and this music. But if you listen to a lot of her music, I mean, it's very 80s. It's 80s rock and roll music.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so. But the cool thing is that, and I think this is, you know, the thing I always think of with her, and if you look at it on, you know, Twitter or anything like that, that she's a legit rocker. She's not someone that, you know, oh, I found my niche, made a couple bucks and put out a couple albums, and now I'm going to tour, you know. And, you know, when she gets off stage, she doesn't live the lifestyle. From what I understand, this is her.
Yeah.
This is as genuine as it gets, you know.
And she hasn't changed.
And Lita
she's
Ford,
who
was in the Runaways, was the same thing, you know, like legit rockers.
Yeah, and she's still playing with the Blackhearts. They're still touring, and she's still playing the same guitar, you know, the Les Paul Special, the white faded Les Paul Special, and it's like the same guitar and everything, and she just still rocks so hard. And if you see interviews with her, she's just still oozes that coolness when she talks, you know. It's just
she's just
cool, and I love that she hasn't changed.
And I think the thing that put her maybe back a little more in the spotlight is this past year, I think there was a big push. I don't know if she made it or not. I'm embarrassed to say, but I think they wanted to make sure that she got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think she did, because I saw her performing. She performed Crimson and Clover, and she performed I Hate Myself for Loving You, and I think someone else may have performed I Love Rock and Roll, or maybe they didn't even play that one.
Right, okay.
I don't know.
Because, you know, and what the articles kept saying is, like, she is the personified rocker. You know, she's not somebody
should be on the sign. She should be on the front cover of the pamphlet for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right? It should be her, Elvis.
She should be the icon.
Like, like, you know, like, she represents that section of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Like, really.
Like, the NBA, the icon, you know, the guy who represents the icon in the symbol is Jerry West. Like, that's him. She should be on the icon for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Gotcha. She really should.
Well, let's make that suggestion. We'll write that.
Yeah. She really should. So the thing that I was talking about that threw me off when I was walking to the beat of this is, it's cool because the downbeat switches. So what I want to do is I want to play it from the very beginning, and I want you to tap your feet, but I want you to tap left, right. So on the first beat,
walk.
Bah, 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 when they hit that doo-doo, that first riff, start with your left foot, and then just step one foot to the other along with the beat, and just keep going, and watch what happens. It's really kind of cool.
So try to walk with it. Okay.
Yep. Left, right.
Oh.
And now now your right foot's on the one.
Yeah.
It switches.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
And it never even noticed that.
Never even
I wasn't
noticed
listening.
It, unless you're doing that, unless you're literally like keeping the beat back and forth.
And why would someone do that, and has anybody ever done something like that? Completely changes it.
It just changes. It's because they go cut time at the end of that riff. Bum 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 bum, and then they just like hit it. Instead of putting the beat in between, they just go right into the next beat, and then they wait until they can start on the one again. But because they went on that first beat, the one is now where the two was.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
And it does throughout the song. Every time the riff does that, so at the end of every chorus, basically,
so it's
it intentional. Switches back.
So it had the intentionality of it. It wasn't something that they missed. And just
I think it's how they wrote the riff, and then they just kind of like, because you don't notice it, right? You could even be playing that song and never notice that it does that. Because that's just how the riff guides the song, right?
I just think it's so cool that you're walking to this song. Because I do that all the time. Whatever song is on, you see my pace pick up or slow down or whatever.
Yeah, unless it's like an extreme slow or fast song. Like, you kind of find yourself falling into that rhythm.
Yeah.
And like, this song is like I said, that's like a really good walking pace for just like a casual walk, right? So you like, it's easy to fall into that rhythm. And when and then when it switched on me like that, I like, it was just one of those like, whoa, wait, what just happened, you know?
Hey, honey, there's some guy out in front of our house who just fell over.
He tripped over
his walking.
Feet. Yeah.
And he fell over.
But no, like, seriously though, how cool is that?
That is. That's right? Unique. I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah. It's just, it was a moment that it just like really kind of caught me off guard, and I was like, that's really cool. And then as you listen to it, if you do that throughout the whole song, you'll know when it's coming and it switches, and it's just really cool.
And it's one of those things that if you're listening to this podcast now, folks, you're never going to unhear that.
Yeah.
You're going to hear that every time you hear this song. I mean, unless it comes to like, oh, here's that song again, I'm going to switch the channel or whatever.
Yeah, but,
you know,
sorry about
skip
that.
It, you know. Yeah, that's cool. It's very cool. Yeah. So that's the thing that made you want to kind of put it back in people's ears?
Thing that made me listen to it again. And I was like, well, this is an awesome song, you know? Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's an anthem. It's anthemic.
Well, and let me take that another step further. So in 81, how old were you?
-7.
You were born in 83?
I was born in 88.
88? You were born in 88? Man, yeah. You're young.
You were there.
Oh, 83, we got married. That's right. So 88, okay. So this was out like long before like you were even around.
Yeah.
So it was less like, let me kind of find this when I was 12 years old or whatever. So you heard that, or everybody heard it at that point. I remember when it hit, because I'm old, because I was in college at that point. I was I think it would have been a sophomore or junior in college in 81. And it was literally one of the biggest. You know the old, oh, you couldn't turn on a radio station without hearing it? That was this song.
It was Adele.
That was it. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I found a great, I'm going to do an Adele song the next time. I almost did it today, by the way. We got to do it. And it's one of those that everyone is thinks it's cheesy, but it's so good. I'm going to kind of
bring it back to
everybody. Rolling in the Deep.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the best songs of the last 20
But you kind of forget about it until you hear it again. It's like, now I know where that was going.
No, there's one of those reaction videos for that song. And it's really good. It's the two brothers.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah.
We should get them on. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we should.
No, but that was a song that was literally the song that was everywhere. Anywhere you went, you heard this song. And I think I remember even reading an article or an interview with Joan Jett that she kind of didn't like it because she didn't want to be that mainstream.
Right.
You know, she wanted to still be on the cutting edge and be kind of, a little off center. And now she's like, you know, number one pop song. I don't even know how high it charted or anything in Billboard, but had that kind of FM playability. And as much as I'm sure she liked the checks and everything else, but she didn't like being kind of thought of that way. And I think she fought hard to still make sure that she kind of had that hardcore rocker image.
Yeah, I've seen videos where she's talked about past interviews that she had and like said that the interviewers always used to try and go talk about clothes with her and talk about, you know, dealing with men on the tour and all this stuff. And she would basically just like flip them off and be like, I'm here to talk about music. I don't want to talk about that garbage. And she just like she did. She fought that kind of like pop star, you know, diva persona. And she's kept
it up. Remember, this is the early days of, or maybe it was just after or just before MTV, so there was an image that was kind of connected with this stuff as well. So, you know, it had a whole different kind of spin on things. But, you know, when you're a legit rocker, and I have this impression, the more I've researched and watched some things and read some articles and stuff, listened about Bryan Adams. You know, he might have had a lot of hits in the 80s and all that. Everybody can, you know, sing along to the chorus of Summer 69 and stuff, but he never kind of just sat on that and said, okay, I'm going to go and do a greatest hits tour all the time. I'm going to still put out really good music and kind of fight that and kind of still be a true musician. And I think, you know, some people probably want to do that, but they choose, you know, when they're playing, the people want to come and hear their hits. So you have to kind of play that game as well. And I think Joan Jett, I mean, obviously she's got to play this every song, every time.
Right, but she's got to play.
But she's got a lot of other really good music.
You know?
Yes. A lot of other really good music.
Yeah.
See, and I know Crimson and Clover from Tommy James and Sean Dells back in the
60s. Right, but she had a hit with it.
Right. Well, they did too. They had a big hit
back
in the 60s.
But what I'm saying is she also has to cover that, play that song every time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, and obviously some of the other things she's had too. But I just like her whole persona that she kind of puts forth, and she's never given in to the cheese, it seems like.
No. But she's also like, I don't think you've read it yet, but I gave you that Laura Jane Grace memoir.
No, it's on my bookshelf.
She talked about when she met Joan Jett once, and it just seems like she's such a nice, genuine, like supportive person who like cares about other people and like
really
So like you can have that badass rebel punk rock persona, and like still be a good person, and like that's probably what got her to where she is now.
Right. You know. Right. Right. Yeah, because you can only be an idiot to so many supporters and venues and everybody. So you got to make sure you kind of still be true. Yeah.
She's like the kind of person that I would just love to sit down with and like just hang out and just have a conversation with. And I feel like she'd be really genuine and really nice. And
Like Alice Cooper. I want to do the same thing.
Alice Cooper, same thing. Yeah, Alice Cooper, Rob Zombie. Those guys, too, seem just like the nicest people in the world.
Brian Fallon, yep.
And then they have these out-of-this-world, over-the-top, you know.
Personas,
yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Exactly, same thing. Yes, I agree. Yep. If we can ever get in contact with any three of those, that would be fantastic.
Well, you know, Brian Fallon, Springsteen, I mean, whoever, you know, so.
Right.
And you know, it's funny because I've met Springsteen, I've met Southside, some of my heroes and stuff like this, and they lived up to that experience as well. Very, very approachable. Kind of like a 30-minute conversation with Bruce one time, and it's like he didn't need to talk to us about that, but he did.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like the old, oh, you walk away and you know the cover's blown and you don't feel that way anymore. But it was confirmed. So I'm sure they'd be the same way because I've heard the same thing about those folks too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so the next thing I want to talk about is that legendary riff and that everyone knows. Just
yep.
So that riff, if you listen to how full the guitar is in this riff. Like, that's a really dense riff, and I figured out why it feels so full, and I tuned up my guitar because I want to demonstrate it for you.
All right.
So give me 1 second.
Is it dub over dub over dub? Louder. Right. If you're gonna do a Joan Jett loud, you know, cranking up, you gotta do it louder. Oh, good feedback too. He looks just like Joan Jett right now.
That's really loud.
Yeah, it's not as loud here. So on my side, thanks. So.
How's that?
That's better.
All right, so there's two people playing the riff at the same time.
Okay.
Joan Jett's playing it, and then her lead guitarist, who I don't remember his name, they're playing at the same time, but they're both playing it differently. All right?
Differently?
So her guitarist is playing it down. It starts with an E chord.
Okay.
Right? So he's playing it down at the bottom of the neck like that. Okay.
Yep.
She's playing it up an octave. So they're playing that at the same time, and that's what gives you get the low end and the high end. That's what she's playing.
Okay.
Okay. You get that? So it's this and this. So you get. So you're getting both the high and the low, which fills it out. And then during that riff, her guitarist, who's playing it down low, is the part. He's the one that plays the high part, right? So, and she's up here, and she plays that lower.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what she does.
Really?
So,
okay.
If you watch it in concert, her hands. People can't see my hands, but she's. She's down in the neck while he's up top.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Can you play that riff again? No, play her sound.
Her part?
Yeah. Okay, play the loud one again. You mean the high one? Okay. Nice. Okay.
So you get those at the same time. So then what you get is. Listen for them both. You hear that? You hear them both? The low and the
now
high?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
I just figured that was maybe the bass, but it's not. It's two guitars.
Well, the bass probably plays it too. I wouldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. See, and I. Oh, he's shutting us. He's taking off.
I just was listening to.
He doesn't. He took off his leather now, folks. So just.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was listening to it, and I was surprised at how full it was, and I was like, how many like dubs do they do? And so I just looked it up. I just looked up a live version of it, and I saw her playing that section, and I saw him playing the other section.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the guy who's playing the lower chords plays the higher riff. And she's playing the higher chords, and she plays the lower riff.
Wow, interesting.
So it's just like, whatever choice led to that is just interesting to me.
And you got
to
figure that she wouldn't do a lot of specialty things and a lot of tricks. It's going to be straight up music, rock music on the guitar. There's not going to be a lot of production that's going to kind of go into that. So, and that's probably easily duplicated when you play it live. I would love to see her live. I can't imagine.
Oh, me too. She's coming. She's coming to somewhere soon, Worcester maybe or somewhere. And I looked at, it's like $70 a ticket. I thought about it.
Yeah, yeah. But when's this Christmas? Maybe.
Yeah, I can't swing it.
But you know, it's funny because I always pick up on the ow. You know, as much as I did the riff.
That's what I was going to say. This is one of my favorite parts of the whole song.
Because that's just so cool. From the gut.
There's so much attitude.
Yes.
Behind that moment.
Yep. Oh, you know what? You got to capture that, and we can use that more often. Although we might get sued. I don't know, but.
It's not dissimilar from our intro music.
No, it's not. Right. So it sounds just like Justin.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is, too, when you think about it, you know, put a dime in the jukebox, baby.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, even your age,
don't even know what that means?
Or ever played with a jukebox?
Well, I can say that I've never seen a jukebox that only cost a dime.
That's true. That's true.
They've always been like at least a dollar.
Yeah, a minimum, you know, for like one play or five plays, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So just a couple things I want to point out that I think is cool is the solo. Is this the solo? Oh, man, I'm good. The solo kind of sits in the back. It's not like out front and in your face. It's kind of subdued, and it's almost at the same volume level, like sitting in the mix at the same level as just the background music, the riff. Right, it's not like crazy flashy in your face, and it's short. I mean, right after that.
Yeah, then they go back.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
yeah, but he keeps going. Yeah. He's still soloing over behind her
singing.
Vocals there, which is kind of cool.
And you know, this sounds to me, that sounds very Joe Walsh-ish to me.
Joe Walsh is known for less is more guitar solos.
Yep. Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
If you listen to Life is Good or Life's Been Good.
Exactly, right.
There is like such little guitar in there, but what he does play is so impactful.
Yeah. That same, where you just kicked that in, that was a riff that I just made a note about when you were hearing it, that I think I like the most too. Right when you started that last part, just before the solo. Now. Yeah. Awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That is awesome.
And again, it just it's so dirty.
It's an attitude. They're able to evoke a specific attitude with their guitars. Like that's not easy to do, you know. You got to feel it. Like, they're not just sitting there still playing that. Like they are
not,
like
and not make it seem like it's fake. You know, right. Like it's just being done. You know, the panda and stuff like that. You're right. It's good.
And it sounds like stadium rock.
Yeah.
Especially when you get in the sing along part. Let me see.
Oh.
Right here.
Right.
I mean, that is begging to be sung at the top of everybody's lungs in like a giant stadium. That's
right. 100,000 people at Wembley Stadium and everything, fist pumping, and that could go on forever.
And that's probably why so many people have covered this song.
Have they covered a lot of covers on this?
Yeah, well,
every band starting up is playing this in their garage. I know that.
Right.
But.
That's what I'm saying. Like because for that moment, like you know, you dream of that moment, right? Every band that's playing Mustang Sally and all these other garbage songs that everyone is sick of, they're also playing this song.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they want to hear people singing back to them.
Yeah. So then the last thing that I wanted to point out, near the end, they add more guitar into the background to kind of just fill it out a little bit more. Letting those chords ring out over it instead of getting the breaks.
And I remember hearing that and thinking, that's kind of cool because you never expected that. It's almost like there's a whole different layer that they just kind of tagged on at the tail end of the song.
And it's just one note. It reminds me of like, you know, I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones. The guitar solo in that song is just one note. They just play it for like 8 bars or like 16 bars. And that's kind of what it reminds me of because it's just that one note, but it's like the perfect note within that key, so it just kind of carries everything through.
So, this song stands on its own fairly, you know, pretty strongly.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that, you think? I mean, it adds a nice layer, but, you know, it's unexpected.
Keep it interesting.
If it wasn't there, it would still be an interesting song.
Yeah.
You know?
But she probably had to keep it interesting for her, too.
Oh, okay.
You know, and yep. You know, I think it's a repetitive chorus, and especially after the sing-along part, they probably wanted to keep it building and building and building until it ended.
And bring something else into
and like,
the
what
mix.
Can we do to give it just a little bit more meat? And like, that was, and it's something that you might not really notice, but you'll notice by the end that it's like, in concert, you'll notice by the end that it's like bigger.
Yeah, and know? It's needed now. Yeah, because you've heard it. Yeah. Right. Cool. So, yeah, I like that.
So that's, I mean, that's it. I just think the song deserves a second listen from a lot of people, and they may have missed some of that stuff, and I think it's really good, and I love Joan Jett. And the last thing I want to fade out with, so instead of asking me the question, who do you want to hear cover this song, because I'm sure anyone you can think of that you would like to hear cover it has covered it, and yep. It's just been covered by so many people. I was trying to think of who do I think is kind of like the next Joan Jett, or like comparable, yeah. Right?
Who has the chops?
Who has the attitude? Who has the talent? Who has that kind of like do it for yourself persona, right? And yep. I may get a lot of flack for this, but my vote is Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. And I don't know if you know who that is.
I don't.
So
I don't.
She's a, Hailstorm is a, you know, a pretty good hard rock band.
Okay.
And Lizzie Hale is the front woman for them. And she just has that kind of attitude, that rock and roll attitude. And I was listening to a song. The song is called You Call Me a Bitch Like It's a Bad Thing.
Jesus.
And there's one moment in it that made me say, that's why I think she's the next Joan Jett. Let me see if I can find it here.
Really?
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is what did it for me. You call me a bitch like it's a bad thing. You call me. Right?
Oh.
And that's the power that she, like,
bad.
I think people have a lot of hate for Hailstorm because I think it's just one of those things where it's like people don't want to admit that they like them or that they're good.
Okay.
But I think this band deserves a little bit more recognition, and she just has that power and that attitude. And that's what you heard it. You heard that attitude in that moment.
See, I would have said maybe Imelda May.
That's so different though, because she's like rockabilly and
yeah, but
and
she's
jazz.
Got the voice.
She's got that jazz stuff and like it's
Joss Stone or something. I mean, they've got the voice, they've got the chops.
Yeah,
you know?
But I wanted to find someone who's just a rocker, like a straight rocker who.
How about Grace Potter?
Grace Potter is up there, yeah, but she also did the song from the Tangled TV show or the Tangled end credits, which is just straight pop. And I feel like when you're looking at someone like Joan Jett, you want to find someone on that level. It needs to be someone who just evokes that same attitude all the time.
Who wouldn't do a Disney movie?
Right. And I think Lizzie Hale would laugh at you if you asked her to do a Disney song.
Right.
You know?
Gotcha. All right. I
but
you.
That was the moment, like I heard that in that one song, and I was like, oh, okay. You get a sense of who she is, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to have to go listen to it. What song was that?
It's called You Call Me a Bitch.
That's
like
the name.
It's
of, okay, that's the name of the song. Okay,
it's good. It's a good song, and there's some really good guitar work in it. I actually thought about doing that song on here, which I still may. We'll see. Maybe do it somewhere in the future.
Yeah.
So that's all I have. We're cool. Going a little bit.
I like that long. That's good. That's fun.
But any last minute things?
I just, you know, again, I think she, there aren't as many in music, you know, in the history of music, there aren't as many people who just are so true and so legit and have never kind of given in. Not that you don't want to ride the wave if you have a hit or if you make some money or if you, you know, you end up kind of being poppy. But if it doesn't change you and you're just going to be a straight out, like, you know, still kind of keep your own groove and stuff. And she always seemed like that person.
And I think so that's something that attracts me to... Against Me too, who I mean, I talk about them all the time. They're absolutely one of my all-time favorite bands right now, and I think it's because Laura Jane Grace is like that, and she writes the songs that she wants to write. And a lot of times, if you listen to Against Me music, like it feels like there's a lot of words crammed into certain lines that like maybe don't fit the rhythm as good, but it's like, well, she had something that she wanted to say, and she just forced it in there, and she's
yeah.
She said,
I'm gonna get it all out there. Yeah.
And you know, her book is like something about the rock and roll's most infamous sellout. So like, she recognizes that like people called her a sellout because they got popular, and she's just like, well, screw you, whatever. I'm gonna do what I want to do, and you know, and that's the attitude, and it's kind of admirable, you know.
I reached out to her too, and haven't heard back. So
yeah, she's pretty. Let's see if we get her on. She's hard to get to.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, cool. Good one.
Yeah, so that's it.
Hey, Pantheon listeners. Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course. I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
So what do you got for us?
So I've got a band that I'm a little late, you know, as usual, I'm a little late to the party on because other people have found them early and stuff. But it's by a band, Lake Street Drive. Mm-hmm. Drive. I think it's Drive.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, I think it's Drive. I always get that mixed
Dive.
Up. Dive. See, I was see. Okay, so Dive.
You get street. And, street is the road word, not
right.
Not drive.
Lake Street Dive. Right. Okay. Thank you. I even wrote it wrong in the notes here. And a buddy of mine who I really respect musically, Brian Raymond, I think had posted a couple times on some social media stuff how much he liked some of this song. And I listened to it. I was like, yeah, it was okay. But I heard this song recently. I think it just kind of came up randomly on one of my Sirius radio stations I was listening to. I was like, what is that? And I went back and found it. And it's like, I've heard this band. I've heard, you know, people who I respect like this band. And I like, kind of liked them, but it didn't, you know, didn't kind of grab me. But this song did. And it's called Hypotheticals. It just came out in March 2021. So it was kind of a COVID released recently kind of thing. But it's gaining a lot of popularity and got a lot of people kind of looking at them a little differently. And they're a cool band. Very, very cool band. I wanted to have a strong woman vocalist to kind of play off of Joan Jett because I knew you were going to do her. Mm-hmm. And, I was going to go with Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes and was ZZ. Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, ZZ Ward,
ZZ Ward, Bonnie Raitt, Susan Tedeschi, Joss Stone, Imelda May, L. King. Like, I was thinking something like that. But
oh, we've done L. King,
Right. But something about her voice and her vocals in this just kind of grabbed me. Now, she's not, you know, that blues, you know, southern blues kind of feel that some of those other folks that I just mentioned are, but she's got such good pipes and such good chops and stuff. Cool. And I think it's going to be something that you're going to like.
All right, well,
Hypotheticals by Lake Street Dive.
Here's a little preview of it.
I've been playing out a lot of hypotheticals in my mind. I've been writing your name down next to mine. Been imagining all the things you and I.
All right, so go ahead, click the link in the show notes or go to the Spotify playlist and listen to it, and we will talk about it.
Boom, and it ends.
That's a cool ending.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That's a cool ending.
Cool song, huh?
It is cool. I feel bad. Like, I don't, like, I'm not going to be able to, like, point things out and, you know, like, because I haven't had, this is my first time
to absorb it, right?
Had a chance
right.
To, like,
well, I can, right? And I can bring you along closely for the ride on that stuff. So the timestamps that I gave you may not line up with what I took off of my Spotify version of the song because I had that opening that you didn't see.
Right.
So maybe we can just, well, hopefully we can find it, you know?
I'll find it.
So, so first off, Rachel Price is her name. And I think, you know, talking about some of those other women that I noticed, that I mentioned beforehand, you know, you got to have her be right up there. Not with the same kind of power, obviously not with the same style and all, but man, she's got the chops and she's got the soul.
It sounds like it could be a Jamiroquai song.
Yeah. It's just smooth. You know, it is a smooth song that takes you on this journey and all of a sudden you're kind of just grooving to it. And then it ends and you're kind of happy as you're walking down the road, you know? No, it is. It's one of those songs that it's so layered and has so many things that you have to unpack with it. But there's a part of me that doesn't like the second part of it because I want more.
Yeah, it gets kind of, I don't want to say stagnant, but it gets,
it
doesn't change as much. Is it like the first half, it's constantly fluctuating between different feels.
So here's some of the things. So I mean, first off, she's from Boston. Well, she's from Australia via Tennessee, and then went to New England Conservatory of Boston, not Berkeley, but New England Conservatory of Music in Boston, and graduated, because you know a lot of times the people who go to those schools have a tendency to kind of leave and then become stars halfway through their junior year or something like this. But she graduated, and I think all the members of the band kind of started out in that way from the Boston area, from New England Conservatory, and I guess they got noticed by, they got like 5 million views on a YouTube video of them singing the Jackson 5 song or something.
Oh, yeah. I saw something about I Want You Back.
I Want You Back. And it was a special cover, which I've seen. It's pretty cool. But that's what kind of got them noticed. You know, in different instrumentation, they have a stand-up bass, which I'm going to talk about in a second. You know, in horns and as you heard in there, an old-school synthesizer as well. So it's different instrumentation, but it all works. It all works really well. The thing I think I like is right at the beginning, you know, and if you heard the version that I know, and Sean and I were listening to little different versions initially, it starts out real kind of slow and kind of setting the table for, you know, there's something maybe going on between us and all. And then then it stops and she breaks into, I've been running, playing out a lot of, and it's before that, it was just kind of slow and, you know, you're not expecting it. And then you hit that and it's just like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah, it was
that,
cool.
That almost would have been, I think you would have fell out of your chair moment, you know, hello joy on that one kind of thing. But at the beginning of that, and now I had shortly after that, so it's 43 seconds or 46 seconds in, when she's singing with the music and with the beat completely. And the song and the words are, I could do, and then I've seen all the possibilities in my dreams. But it's emphasized, and it's like, bum, 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 in my dream. I love the phrasing of that. And then the next line as well.
Do you want me to see if I can find it?
Yeah, if you can. Been imagining all the things you and I could do. Right there. Ooh, ooh, I've seen all the possibilities in my life. You know, so. My dreams, y'all are the way. And it's emphasized like bum, bum, bum at the same time. So I love that when you kind of sing and the vocals pretty much mirror what the music's doing as well.
And
I love
that.
And
she has to slow down to do that because she's singing twice as fast.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And then, you know, then a combination later on went at, I had, 57 seconds that went all the way to 1:03. I can't remember exactly what it was. And if it's absolutely necessary, we'll go to plan C. I love that line, by the way. It's after that.
I think that's clearly the chorus.
yeah. No, it's after the chorus. So, but anyway, it's just the way that the whole thing flows. And again, it just feels so smooth. But then it changes, and I don't know if you call it the bridge or if you call it a break or whatever. You know, when she goes into "Nobody Can See Into the Future," and you know, it kind of slows down. It's like, what are you doing? Maybe enough, but I think it's worth a shot. Yeah.
It was before that, right?
That was the break afterwards, but I also want to emphasize right at that point too where the synthesizer kind of kicks in. So put that back. Yeah, this. Let it play.
I can't let it go too long.
Yeah, because we don't get sued. Yeah. And then shortly right after that, one of the things I think is a huge standout for me on the song is the stand-up bass is front and center. And if anybody out there is saying like, okay, I've heard the bass a lot of times on almost all the songs I listen to, I know there's a bass line somewhere and I never really paid attention to it. If you never thought you could tell the difference between an electric bass and a stand-up bass, you're about to, because this is where it sits. This is where it gets. Now, I had 248, Sean. I don't know if that's... It's probably for you. Hypothetically, yes. That is clearly stand-up bass, and if you know anything about Lake Street Dive, their stand-up bass player is just outstanding and has all kinds of chops for playing with all different kind of people.
Outstanding.
Yeah, right, everywhere. But just it's one of those things that there it is right there. You clearly know that that's not an electric bass, and it's right. It's the right instrumentation for that. So cool.
Yeah, I want to go back to the synthesizer. I was having flashbacks to The Doors.
Oh, I was thinking old Stevie Wonder, yeah?
When they do like the keyboard solos.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just screeching, and it's like nails on a chalkboard. Yeah. Like, yeah. They hit some notes that are just so high that, like, yep, it, like, hurts. And that's, yeah, kind of, they were, like, starting to approach that territory with that synthesizer.
Yeah, the dog ran out of the room. Like, oh, no, yeah. I think it's coming. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I can see Stevie Wonder, too, with the harmonica.
Yep, and it's not expected, you know.
No, that, it's a cool sound.
You know, that they do that. But again, it's just there's so much, so many things going on in the song. I wish after they did that initial break, but, you know, let's not wait and see. Now, obviously, you need to have the synthesizer solo in there. That's kind of cool. But I would like to have seen, all right, let's go back to the chorus for a third time. Because I think the chorus is the best part of the song. Yeah. I've been playing, you know, it's just,
yeah,
cause
it's late. But then you don't need it. If you do that too many times, it's going to, like, lessen the impact of it.
Well, it turns poppy, I think, you know. Right?
And, like, it's like Alex was saying in the last episode, like, you need to restrain yourself a little bit to keep it having the impact that you want it to have.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I can see. I mean, but it just went in two completely different directions because it was that first break. And then at the end where, you know, the backup singers, whoever they might be, and it's probably the band, you know, overdubbing themselves, were singing, you know, the chorus again, and then she's just kind of filling in, you know, kind of scatting in between stuff. It's like, oh, that's good, but, like, I like her voice singing that chorus one more time. I just want to hear it and stuff. But
yeah, you got to do that stuff, though.
It's cool, though, but it's just like, you know, I almost felt like, just give me a little more, because I love that chorus. And maybe I like the first line of the chorus, especially, yeah, you know, when it kind of kicks in like that. Yeah, yeah. So, cool song, though.
That is a cool song. I've never heard that before.
But one of those songs that if you hear it, you're going to go back and say, oh, let me listen to it again. And the more you hear it, it's going to be, you know, moving up, you know, on your playlist, and you're going to hear it often.
It's very much Jamiroquai.
You think so? Yeah, yeah.
Just the feel of it, the overall feel.
That whole kind of, like, that, you know, pulling funky, you along on the river
stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I just get a flow from them. I feel like it's like it's on water or something. You know, it's just like it's easy. It's going to kind of pull you along. It's going to be fine, and we're having a good old time. And, you know, it's in one of those songs. Again, I was late to the party with Lake Street Dive, but I can see why people like them. I've listened to some of the other stuff, trying to like some of their other things, and I would say I'm 50-50 on most, yeah, of their stuff, but, yeah, this one is just kind of, well, jumping out at me. This is,
you,
like,
you said they came out, like, around 2004?
Yeah. Yep.
So they probably broke it big few years after that, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
So
big,
that was,
and big, like, big relatively, so I don't know where they're,
that's like when I was in
from
college. So remember when I was in college and, like, the bands that were breaking it in, like, the Providence area,
yep,
and Boston were all these hipster bands that, yeah, played weird instruments, and they had the weird synthesizers, and they had that kind of, like, they tried to do anything they could do to sound different from the mainstream.
Yeah, and they had
so
the stand-up drum in the front.
You get little bits of that, little tastes of it in this.
Yep.
Not as extreme. I remember, you know, when we were in the WBRU Rock Hunt, the band that won that, there was, like, a trio, and they had some really weird instruments, and it was just, like, the definition of, like, weird artsy, yep, hipster music, yep, and, like, that stuff was so popular at that time,
right? Versus straight up rock, which is what you guys were doing, which was
right.
You
know, we were doing like pop rock stuff, like, yep, like mainstream pop rock stuff, which just we it would have been super popular in the early 2000s or the 90s, but we were in the wrong decade. But that's the stuff that was so popular, and so I'm not surprised if they broke out a little bit before that or during that kind of time. If good you're point gonna get remnants of that sound in there,
yeah, because I'm picking up a little of that, but that's not what drew me to them. Mm-hmm. What drew me to them was her vocals,
right?
You know, and especially
she's one of those people that makes it sound easy.
Yes, yes.
You know, like, yep, Joan Jett does not make that sound easy.
She's what
she does,
she's
but she
it
makes it sound like she's putting 150% effort into it.
Yep.
Whereas this, she just makes it sound like it's so easy for her.
The word I kept kind of coming back to is, like, she's a crooner, you know, from, like, when you think of the 40s, like Bing Crosby and some of those guys, and just, like, because,
yeah,
it just, you don't have to sing it, it's just kind of coming out. It's,
yeah,
just natural.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yep. It's just, it's easy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
which is very different from someone like some of the other people you said, like ZZ Ward or L. King.
Yeah.
Joss Stone would have that.
Yeah.
She makes it sound easy. But, yeah. She doesn't have that kind of gritty, gravelly
No.
Feel to it. No. So it's just very smooth.
And yet she doesn't also have the, you know, let's try to make it sound so different like some of those bands, like you said, from that
right.
time frame either. You know, it's just, it's almost more, and I think one of the things that she used to do is her and maybe the stand-up bass player used to play songs from like, you know, on the street corners or in some of the clubs in Boston and other places, like from the 30s, you know, the Tin Pan Alley, like, you know, pre-war mm-hmm. stuff. Because she has that kind of feel, and she could probably pull that stuff off very easily, you know, very comfortably.
If you watch
well.
The music video, yeah. it feels very like 60s.
Yeah. Yep.
Like flower power kind of.
Yes. Yep. But the cool thing is that, again, what drew me to it is if you listen to the song right from the beginning, in the true beginning, when it's really quiet and everything else, it's like, oh, the Lake Street Dive, okay, a couple of my buddies liked it. And then it stops and it kicks right into, Ben. Playing a lot of it, and it's like, where did that come from? And then it just kind of...
It is unexpected.
And then it jumps, you know, and then it jumps into another. And then you forget about, you know, those four, you know, or five lines prior, and you're hooked because you start out with the chorus immediately. It's like, love it. And then it does a little more thing, and then back to the chorus, love it. But then I don't hear the chorus again. Like, oh, come on, give me more. You know,
yeah,
so,
it's almost good. Like it does kind of... It loses you a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a tease. Yeah. But not in a bad way because, I mean, there's some really interesting things afterwards as well.
Yeah.
So that's mine. Quick one.
It's a cool song. I was really surprised by it, too, the first time I heard it here because, you know, I told you I was doing Joan Jett and you said what you were kind of looking to do. So that's I was expecting another rocker.
Yep.
And that is not what I got, and I was surprised. Yep. Not in a bad way. Just...
No, because I was thinking, you know, I went from rocker, you know, and okay, do you try to emulate that or have somebody with that rawness in their voice, or do you have somebody who still is a woman, strong vocalist? And that's what I kind of went for. I want to try something different. And this has been on my list for a little while, like, ooh, this might be a good time to kind of balance that out stuff. So, I have come to like this song. This is when... You know, getting dressed in the morning or making my lunch, like, you know, hey, Alexa, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, can you play this? And I play it over and over again. So, yeah, like, it's cool.
Favorite part?
Favorite part is probably, I love the chorus just because it's so surprising. And it almost, even thinking about it, almost kind of gives me goosebumps when she starts singing it. But I think my favorite part of the entire song might be the stand-up bass stuff near the end.
That's pretty cool.
It just sends such a cool message. And it's like, this has a very different vibe. You know, that's kind of good. So, and the person who I could see covering it, I thought about maybe Whitney Houston, you know, with her soul.
Yeah,
or Beyonce even, you know, with
I
their...
I see Beyonce, 100%.
Yeah, with their voice. And, you know, again, the smoothness that they can kind of deliver something like that. So
it would be a different song, but...
It would be, but I think the vocals would still be there.
Yeah.
You know,
she could do
more
it
than an Adele. I wouldn't say an Adele,
no,
but
that's
maybe Whitney. You know, maybe Whitney before Beyonce and stuff, but maybe both. You know, I could see that. Yeah. So just kind of a different feel. So it'd be interesting to hear other people's opinions once they listen to it of like, you know, who else they could see kind of covering it. So.
Yeah, for sure.
So you like it? You like it though?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. Makes you want to think about them a little more down the road, and I know they have some interesting stuff, so go check them out. They seem like really good people. Really good, you know, nice folks too. The guitar/trumpet player, I think he was, recently left the band, but you know, in an amicable thing and stuff. Yeah. So everybody, you know, still gets along, but they're all doing, you know, everybody kind of doing different things. You know, Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes, you know, Alabama Shakes doesn't exist anymore. It's her. Like, come on, you know. So it all changes stuff, but. They're still intact, and I'm pretty sure that they're out and getting ready to tour and stuff. So I think it'd be a cool band to kind of see. So.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, before we wrap it up, I just want to give one more shout out to our brother over in Ireland, Josh O'Loughlin, back on tour with the Kilkennys.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're playing some massive like opera houses and some huge concert halls. So
in Belgium and Germany.
Yeah.
And
keep hustling out there, buddy. We love you, and we're proud of you. And you know, if you guys get a chance to check out some Kilkenny stuff on YouTube or whatever, make sure you check it out and support them. He's really doing some good stuff over there, and I'm glad that they're able to get out and do some shows. So
yeah, good call.
So that's it. So again, make sure that you check out Pantheon Podcast for more awesome music related podcasts, and check out our Teespring store for some fantastic merch, including coffee mugs, t-shirts,
stickers,
all masks. Kinds of fun stuff, sweatshirts, face masks, whatever you want, we got it. and check out the link in our show notes for our Patreon page if you want to support the show. We'd really appreciate that. Couple bucks a month, you know, it's less than one cup of coffee a month, and it really would help us.
Don't forget the discussion group.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we have the discussion group. It was really going strong for a little while. It's gotten a little quiet lately. I'm trying to kind of revamp it by sharing some songs every day. I'm trying to do like a song of the day every couple of days and just share music that I think people maybe haven't heard before, but maybe I probably won't get to on this show, so people can listen to it and share their opinions. I really want to cultivate some more discussions in there. So we have a link in the show notes for that too, for the group, the discussion group on Facebook. And I think that's it. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to You're Not Listening wherever you listen to podcasts. Stay hydrated, listen to good music, and don't be a dick, and we will talk to you next time.
Take care, folks. Be safe.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.